south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, then, let's talk about some recent news. Now, for all you expat wannabes and gonna-bes who are thinking about going down to Colombia, we've been talking about that a lot lately. Unfortunately, now that it's getting more and more on the radar, and international living and all those retirement rags are promoting it as a very cool place to be. Yes, it was. It certainly was. Though now, for better or for worse, the secret's been let out of the bag. So how's that affecting things in Colombia these days? Well, in bigger cities like Cali and Medellin, more and more gringos are stomping around and prices are going up. For example, according to recent statistics, most of Latin America has an inflation rate of about 4 to 8% a year. The two exceptions to the rule, of course, are Venezuela and Argentina, which have become inflation basket cases, both hovering around 40 and 50% this year. And like I said in last week's show, since they practically made the U.S. dollar illegal, and of course, you know, the inflation rate always measured against the U.S. dollar, those two places are just not recommended for gringos, unless, of course, you're a very determined, adventurous, and steely type. That said, if you are a big-time chance-taker, well, go for it. You know the old saying, there's money to be made when there's blood in the streets. But if you do go down, don't wear white socks because blood stains don't come out. Anyway, like I said, in the rest of Latin America, at least for the past 5 years or so, the average inflation rate's been around 4 to 8% a year. Not good, really, because remember the law of sevens. At 7% inflation, it only takes 7 years for the prices in a country to double. In other words, if you're using the local currency, it'll take twice as much of that funny money to buy the exact same things you bought 7 years ago. Which is why they call inflation the hidden tax. So for Latin American countries, the usual 4 to 8% annual inflation is not good, but it's not terrible either. Now, note, we're talking about Colombia here. And, as a matter of fact, in the last year, Colombia's inflation rate, which used to run around 6% in the last 5 years or so, is now around 12 to 15% a year. These are the numbers that are coming from independent economists and analysts because the government still says that inflation's around 7 or 8% a year. But you know how governments lie. So it looks like all that good press Colombia's been getting lately is really drawing in the gringos and the Europeans. So now, month over month, we've got higher prices in Colombia and more inflation. According to the latest 2015 statistics, the segment in Colombia that's experienced the most inflation by far in the last year has been the food sector. And next in line, you probably guessed it, housing. Even though the real estate market's becoming vastly overbuilt and vacancies are historically high. So my take? Well, I like the big cities in Colombia a lot, but I really don't think I'd want to live there. However, in the smaller cities, 100,000 or less, far away from the big cities, there are still many good places to work, play, and or retire in Colombia. The problem is, these days, if you're in the big cities, and you don't want to lower your standard of living, you want to live like a first-world gringo, you're going to be paying pretty close to gringo prices now. Bottom line, don't think like in many other places off the gringo tourist trail, you can live like a first-world person on a measly social security check of $1,200 to $1,500 a month. That's just not going to happen. Unless, of course, you're living in a small town or out in the boonies. Note that your food and housing costs and other expenses in the smaller towns could easily be half of what you pay in, for example, Cali, Medellin, Bogota, or Cartagena. So don't be too quick to run to Colombia as your permanent expat getaway. When you've got all those web blogs and retirement rags saying that Colombia is the next Costa Rica, looks like slowly but surely they're getting their wish. Though unfortunately, no world traveler or anyone with a brain would ever want to settle in Costa Rica again. So be careful what you ask for. Now, you can see in those big Colombian cities that there's a real estate bubble going down since now flipping properties seems to be the latest thing. Of course, it's not gringos flipping properties. It's the local developers who practically salivate every time another Boeing or Airbus full of gringos and Europeans disembarks at one of the international airports. And it usually starts out like this, in broken English, of course. It's your lucky day, gringo. Have I got a deal for you? How long are you going to be in my beautiful country? A week, you say? What a coincidence. I told you this was your lucky day. 1 week's exactly when this spectacular property goes off the market. Yep, that's how it goes. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that spiel. It's right out of the Panama and Costa Rica playbook. You know, a guy approaches you, hands you a pamphlet with the latest developments on it saying, you got to get in now. There's only two houses left in the project. Or maybe it's just that one condo left in the tower. Or, better yet, that very last piece of beachfront or ocean view property. That's why you go down, you get your boots on the ground, and you rent for at least 6 months. Just don't get sucked into that quote, you have to act fast, it's the last available condo in the complex. That's just BS. Now, it might be the last condo, all right, but there are 100 other developments in the area, too. It seems like Latin real estate developers just love to run ads that say, hurry, you have to act now, last available units. And then 3 years later, you see the same ad with the same verbiage, hurry, last available units. What a crock, huh? Okay, let's see what else we've got in the news here. Aha. I've noticed in all the big Latin American newspapers, South and Central America, this is Teleton season. Say what? In English, it's spelled just about the same way and means the same thing. TV Telethon. And of course, along with that great big lag time factor, Latin American charity organizations have stolen a page or two or three right from Jerry Lewis's muscular dystrophy telethons. Now, it's true. Jerry Lewis's telethons have been going on for, what, 50 years now, and no one's found a cure to MD? So then you might ask, where did that estimated $3 billion go? That's right, I said $3 billion. That's a hell of a lot of lab coats, salaries, and Vaseline for Jerry's hair. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Jerry and Jerry's kids are crooks. I mean, in all those 50 years, I've never seen a scandal regarding Jerry or his kids. However, with virtually every single one of the telethons you see down here in Latin America, there's been some huge scandal attached where organizers have run off with big chunks of dough. And you do read about that stuff in the paper, but it's always months and months after the telethon actually aired. And like every dirty case of corruption that's unearthed in the Latin press, it soon goes away after about a week. Because down here, the public has the attention span of a gnat. And I mean that in the kindest way, since up in the States, to have even that long of an attention span to some would be a compliment. I mean, just look at the thieving nitwits that keep getting re-elected to Congress over and over again. Which is one of the big reasons it's time to get the hell out, by the way. Oh, and speaking of the scumbag sociopaths in U.S. politics, I know I mentioned to you before that down here in Latin America, even the so-called educated Latins and the upper classes who should be discriminating and well-read have very, very incomplete educations. They have huge fundamental black holes and gaps in their knowledge about what's really happening up in the first world. And most of the time, no matter how educated or seemingly intellectual they might be, they're all hell-bent on copying exactly the first world lifestyle, with a few of their own little classist twists thrown in, like bodyguards and maids and maintenance guys, who come in by way of the servant's entrance and are treated like second or even third-class citizens. In fact, just the other day, a Latin American political science teacher, who didn't know me well at all, just met him for the first time, he asked me what I thought of Obama, which was the wrong question to ask. Then, after he dusted himself off and I picked him off the floor, he asked me an even dumber question, whether I was going to vote for a Republican or Hillary. Now, get this. Here's a political science university professor in Latin America who doesn't even know who Ron Paul is. And when I mentioned Rand Paul, he thought I was talking about the same person. And then, after I said a few unkind, in fact, unmentionable words about the Republicans and the Democrats, it was obvious where this so-called professor of political science got his info from. First World Cable TV. I mean, really, down here, Latins, even educated ones, they think CNN, Fox, and Network TV are the unshakable mouthpieces of all that's happening up in the first world. So anyway, stupid me, I was sitting with the guy and had a little time on my hands, so I proceeded to lay out for him just a few of the Obama and Clinton scandals. And for good measure, I threw in Halliburton, Cheney, the Bush-Bin Laden connection, the 9/11 Truth Commission, and a couple of the more plausible Twin Tower conspiracies, of which the so-called professor knew zilch. Then I mentioned Bill Clinton and the Haiti Reconstruction connection, you know, the $500 million reconstruction project that never built anything, except Clinton and his buddy's bank accounts. Then I mentioned Hillary and her lies and her warmongering and her leaked emails. And by then, the spark seemed to have gone out of the professor's eyes and he looked as if a dog had just pissed on his leg. I guess I just tarnished his pristine image of the Democratic Clinton-Obama dynasty, according to first world media like Reuters, AP, CNN, etc. And then he said, "That's not much of a scandal. Hillary's still gonna run, isn't she?" He said, "Down here, scandals don't mean a thing. Every politician's involved in a dozen of them, and they always run and get reelected." Then he asked again, "She is gonna run, isn't she?" Then I looked at him hard in the eyes and I said, "As sure as a dog goes back to eat its vomit, there'll be a Clinton on the presidential ballot next year." Then he asked that magic question again, "Who are you gonna vote for?" I said, "I already did. I voted with my feet about 25 years ago. That's the only vote that counts." But where was I? Oh yeah, I was talking about those telethons. Down here in Spanish, they're called teleton. And yes, they go for a couple of days, just like Jerry's telethons up in the States. And since what you see down here is always a bad, bad copy of Jerry's Labor Day telethon, gringos like us who speak a little Spanish and understand what's going on can't stomach those things for more than about 3 minutes. Anyway, all the big Latin American local television stations have their telethons this time of year. They usually last 1 to 3 days. And I'm telling you, you're an idiot if you donate 1 peso to these guys. It's the usual tug-your-heartstrings propaganda. Poor barefoot kids on dirt floors out in the campo, eating tortillas, beans, and watery soup. Now, they interweave sad scenes like that with Down syndrome kids. Throw in a few skinny, bald kids with cancer, and horribly undernourished kids in wheelchairs. So it's the age-old, you're okay and they're not guilt trip that they're laying on you. But please, don't fall for it. It's just like the adopt-a-kid for 20 bucks a month scam that I mentioned in a show a couple of years ago. Remember that one when I went on a trip with a nice Canadian guy that came down just looking to meet that little girl he's been supporting for about 5 years at 20 bucks a month? And when we got to the agency's headquarters in Honduras, the parking lot was filled with late model SUVs, but the secretary in charge of all the files just couldn't seem to find his girl. What a monster letdown, huh? And he'd come all that way from Canada just to meet the little girl that had been sending him nice little letters every month thanking him for being a nice adoptive dad. It's just all crap. So be smart, don't get fooled. Now, I can see how that Canadian guy got fooled. I mean, he's sitting up there and sending his little check down monthly. I mean, come on, it's guys like him that give Canadians that sterling reputation and good name. Now, the so-called NGO Children's Agency in Honduras, for them, it's the out-of-sight, out-of-mind context. They're just counting on the fact that no one's going to come down here and check up on them. Why would they? Well, my Canadian buddy did. And when he got taken, he realized the world was not a very nice place. You know it's going to be a sad day when you have to disillusion a Canadian like that. They're always so positive and upbeat, eh? Now, the amazing thing is, when you ask someone on the street about these telethons, every last person, no matter what his social status, thinks these things are just marvelous. That said, it's obvious the general Latin public will just never get it. It's obvious they never really bothered to read anything but the front page, the funny pages, and the sports section. And when there is a major breaking story of a telethon ripoff, and they happen every year, amazingly enough, there are no news reports on TV. Why bite the hand that feeds you? They're paying big bucks for that TV time. And remember, since those telethons are only on TV, the newspaper is pretty much the only place you can find out the truth about what kind of scams they are and how they're ripping people off. And remember, like I said, down here in Latin America, there is no truth in advertising. Which in a way is a good thing. It just means buyer beware. In other words, you have to be smart about things. And I know, for most Americans, it's a hard thing to take back control of your own life since the government does everything for so many people these days. And that's one thing that makes living in Latin America so different. Here, you take care of your own destiny and you watch out for yourself. Hey, what a concept, huh? It takes a certain kind of free-thinking person, people like us, to recognize how great and really fair that is. What I mean, for example, are things like this. I got an email the other day from someone who wants to attend my next Expat Wisdom seminar. He says, out in the boonies of Iowa where he lives, he's got a couple acres, it's a rural setting and he wants to have a cow. He wants his own fresh organic milk for his family. In the end, he nixed it. Just too much of a hassle, he said. He found out he'd have to open his doors to government inspectors a couple times a year, not just outside where the barn would be, but his own personal residence. He'd have to get a rider on his insurance policy. He'd have to file for livestock permits, etc., etc. Not to mention, build an approved fence or pen. Like he said, way too much horse or cow crap. He'd have spent about $500 or $600 before he even got the cow, and then there'd be no guarantee in that permit process that they wouldn't just reject his application outright. Whereas down here in Latin America, if you live out in the boonies, you just go buy a damn cow. Period. Oh, and I have to mention, in the last month or so, I've gotten some emails from people asking me about autism down here in Latin America. And to me, it's rather strange. Up in the States, it's on the tip of everyone's tongue. You hear things about it all the time. You read blogs. They got hundreds of websites on it. Just like the bullying phenomena. Seems like every family's affected somehow. Brother, sister, cousin, whatever. Well, guess what? Down here in Latin America, I've never met a single person with autism, nor have I ever spoken to a person who had someone in the family who was diagnosed with autism. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't exist down here. They call it, in fact, autismo here. The fact is, some of my gringo expat friends teaching at those helicopter schools, you know, the private ones that cost about $3,000 to $5,000 a year, loaded with spoiled, entitled kids with bodyguards, etc. Well, guess what? It turns out autism does exist down here in Latin America, but it seems to be exclusive to those high-end helicopter schools. What does that tell you? Are the common average Latin moms and dad just not reporting it, or are they not noticing it? Are they out of the loop somehow? Who knows? But I can tell you this. If you talk to a teacher that teaches at a non-helicopter school, you know, a regular public school or an inexpensive private or parochial school, a school that, believe it or not, could cost maybe $50 a month, the teachers there will tell you, and I've spoken to a few, that yes, they've heard about autism and they've read the literature, but doesn't seem like it's an issue, at least not yet. But as one female teacher told me who teaches in public school down here, she said, when those autistic kids come, when they start trickling in, they'll be ready. So, wait a minute. You tell me then why autism occurs in those high-end gringo-like first world style schools, yet it's practically non-existent or goes undiagnosed in the schools that the 90% of the rest of Latin American kids go to. Well, could it be, like one of my expat gringo friends who teaches at a helicopter school told me, he thinks autism is occurring in his school because the kids all have first world habits. They eat first world junk food like it's going out of style. They've got their cell phones and electronic devices up to their head 24/7 and even sleep with them. And their parents are jumping on the vaccination bandwagon first world style. If the gringos are doing it, it must be right. Now note, all kids in Latin America get vaccinated, but as one physician told me, kids down here get a small battery of inoculations in their first year of life, but after that they rarely get vaccinated again. And he estimated that kids down here get about 1/4 as many vaccinations as kids up in the first world, not to mention, he said, no one gets a flu shot. They just don't have them down here. Well, let me take that back. He says if you really want flu shots, they can order them from the States and get them down in the office and give them to you. But in his experience, no one's ever done that. However, like he said, most of his patients are middle-class Latins. Oh, and by the way, the other day I saw an ad in one of the big newspapers, some kind of marathon run for autism. So they do have organizations that are involved in such things. However, I can tell you this. Anytime there's an advertised running event here in Latin America, you'll find that average Latin American folks are not into running sports like marathons as hobbies. Those specific kind of running sports activities are for the high-class Latins, the upper middle class, and the wealthy. Just drive through any big Latin American city, especially on a weekend. Drive through a middle or lower middle class area and you'll almost never see anyone jogging, not with a jogging suit anyway. But I can tell you this, if you're driving around in one of those exclusive upper middle class and wealthy neighborhoods, you'll occasionally spot runners. Yep, and they're dressed to the hilt. And note, there'll sometimes be SUVs trailing a half a block back. Yep, those would be the bodyguards. And those fat-ass bodyguards are the ones that should be jogging. So, just by observing the weekend ritual of jogging, you can draw a very stark line between the classes here in Latin America. So again, it kind of proves the point. You got high-end people in the running game, running for things like autism, an affliction that only seems to exist in a meaningful way in the children of the upper classes. So what's really happening here? Well, whatever it is, you could write a book on it. You, not me. That said, let's look at Mexico. It's always in the news around here. Now, note, all the news agencies and politicians in other Latin American countries are really kind of skittish about broadcasting the bad things that are happening in Mexico. It's their biggest trading partner. So you could say all other Latin countries except maybe Argentina and Venezuela continuously suck up to Mexico. Venezuela doesn't have to because, well, they got the oil. And Argentina because they suck up to no one. They think they're better than every other Latin American country like I mentioned in last week's show. And if you don't believe me, just find an Argentine pen pal and ask that very question. So it's true. For pure ego and inflated self-esteem, it's kind of a neck-and-neck race between Costa Rica and Argentina. Both countries think they're the cream of the crop and the absolute best and latest word on anything Latin. Again, for those of you listeners out there who might not know why, for Costa Rica, they think they're the best because they've got no indigenous population. Somehow, early on when the Spanish first landed, they were isolated geographically, and thus they have no poor indigenous population like most of the rest of Latin America. The fact is, the majority of Costa Ricans are Latinos, mostly light-skinned Latinos, by the way, and Costa Rica's got a small component, maybe 8 to 10% of Latin folks with a lot of European blood, so they look kinda like gringos, but shorter. So like I said, Costa Rica has no poor, dark, short, indigenous population to keep downtrodden. Instead, they keep the black segment of their population downtrodden, and you'll see what I mean if you ever go there. In Costa Rica, they've got 98% of their black population kind of smooshed up against the Caribbean side, the side that gets almost no high-end gringo tourism. But you knew that already, right? Now, when it comes to Costa Rica's big-headed, egotistical rival, Argentina, the reason why they believe they're a cut above, actually two or three cuts above, because they too have no real, low-class, poor, indigenous population to speak of either, along with the fact that they've got a heavy mix of Italian, German, and Spanish blood. Which is why, especially when you're walking through some of the big cities like Buenos Aires, you'll often think you're seeing a group of gringos, but when you get closer, you realize they're speaking flawless Spanish. So, obviously, they're not gringos. And I can say that because no matter how long a gringo's been down here in Latin America, he never gets rid of that gringo accent. Unless, of course, you come down here as a little kid and you go to a bilingual school. The fact is, if you're born a gringo, or unless you're some kind of prodigy or autistic, maybe, you'll never quite lose that gringo accent. But I digress as usual. I was talking about Mexico, right? In the news every day down here in Latin America, but only small snippets. Tiny little articles stuffed in the back pages generally. So, like today, I'm reading a small article about Mexico on page 13 of this paper, and it says, in Jalisco, Mexico, 15 cops were murdered and ambushed on a bridge. The attack took place on a road very near the tourist town of Puerto Vallarta. Now, I hardly ever talk about all the bad news coming out of Mexico because after 5 minutes, your eyes would glaze over. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning this particular incident is because drug dealers wiped out 15 cops at a crack. No pun intended. Come on, if that happened in Cleveland. And the second reason I'm bringing this up is because I get lots of emails from people saying, Johnny, why are you so hard on Mexico? I've been there, and there's some awful nice places to live, work, play, and or retire. All that big narco crime and corruption you're talking about, that occurs away from the tourist areas because, well, gang members and such have their own little barrios, and as long as you steer away from those areas, you'll be all right. So then, what do I have to say about emails like that? Violence is not just occurring in narco barrios. It's occurring in and around tourist towns, too. In fact, remember a half a year ago in Acapulco, a purely tourist town? They found, what was it, 24 decapitated bodies just outside of town? So please, you guys and gals up there who've already bought into Mexico, you've got a condo or some land or a trailer down there, whatever. I know you're going to be biased about all this. You got skin in the game. You got a nice chunk of dough invested down there, and you don't want to see that evaporate. So in the end, I'm not totally condemning the place. I love the Yucatan Peninsula, but that's slowly but surely cracking at the seams too. I mean, let's face it. If you're a bad guy, after you've picked all the fruit from the local trees, you're going to head to greener pastures, right? And for those of you guys and gals up there who've been to Mexico City, that's the Distrito Federal, remember? In a city that big, what is it, 15 million, you're going to find splendid and beautiful neighborhoods along with a lot of horrible barrios. 60 to 70% of the people there are the wretched poor. If you find yourself a nice gated community in a beautiful neighborhood in Mexico City, Distrito Federal, remember about those parking problems I mentioned on a past show. And worse, World Health Organization is saying if you live in Mexico City, it's like smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. So can you live with that? Finally today, for all you guys and gals up there who are thinking of coming down, becoming an expat, hoping and praying you could find some kind of work down here to do to make some money. Because, you know, that seems to be the aim of about 90% of potential expats, unless you're retired and getting a pension. Still, you got to have something to do, right? Because you're going to have a lot of time on your hands. Anyway, let me read this little snippet from Argentina's biggest paper, La Nación, and it's in the financial section. And this, believe me, really does have a lot of bearing on what you might do down here to make some money. It says only 16% of Latin Americans have access to the internet in their homes. 16%. Now, compare that to the first world, the United States, Europe, Japan, where 96% of people have access to internet in the home. Now, that's not to say that Latins don't have cheap smartphones. Even the smartphones you can get down here these days for $30. Smart enough, anyway, to allow you to hook up to the internet. However, since most of Latin Americans have pay-as-you-go phones, that means they don't have an actual contract plan. So, internet cost is very high. As soon as you hook up, it instantly starts sucking your nickels and dimes away in a hurry. And of course, Latin people know that, so they almost never hook up to the internet continuously on their almost smartphones. Sure, they might check their Facebook sites once in a while for 20 or 30 seconds, but believe me, they're not locked in searching the web like you do when you're at home. So, with only 16% of people on the internet in their houses, the internet is in a huge growth phase here. So obviously, you want to be positioned on the internet as the automatic growth happens. Now, that fits very nicely into Johnny's number one rule of business. That is, competition's okay, but make sure it's Latin competition, not gringo competition. Whatever you're thinking of doing in the way of making money, make sure it's got a heavy internet presence. So right off the bat, you've got a huge advantage because your competition will be Spanish. Of course, that'll mean you have to know a bit of Spanish yourself, so get cracking on it. Okay, we're near the end of the show again, and I want to remind you, if you want to get in on the early bird discount for my July 2015 Expat Wisdom Seminar in Central America, you must sign up before May 1st, because after that, the price goes up $500 per person. Just go to expatwisdom.com and click on the seminar link for all the information.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture in old style.